The Bible reading today is the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, and it's verses 25 to 37. Very familiar words, but let's hear them once again. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbour?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So also a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was the neighbour to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see us all. It's good to see us. Thank you so much for letting me come along and spend a little bit of time with you. I always love being able to come back here every time I'm in Liverpool and come and spend a little bit of time here at the church. So I really, really appreciate the opportunity. I think I realise more and more every time I come back that I'm starting to sound less and less Scouse. So it's nice to be able to come and just to be able to top it up a little bit over this next week. So yeah, it's a real privilege to be able to come and to be able to share with you, to be able to spend time in your morning service. And thank you for inviting me. So for those of you that don't know, maybe I work for an organization called LMI, which is a missionary organization that is based out of Belfast. But it does stuff all around the world, and we get the chance to be able to serve God in so many different ways through mission awareness, through overseas teaching ministries, through Bible teaching ministries, and through youth and schools outreach. Now, the most common question I get asked when I'm doing these types of things is, you go into loads and loads of different schools and you reach loads of young people, but do you only get into so many schools? Because the reality is that you're going in and kind of just telling them Jesus loves them and then just kind of leaving it at that. Is there really any depth to what you do? Are you really challenging young people, or are you just saying what people want you to hear in order to be able to get the stats and say that you do all of these schools? So I thought the best way to answer that question, because I get asked it everywhere I go, is a thought I'd share with you just a little bit about what we actually do in schools. So we read this passage before in Luke chapter 10, didn't we? And I want you to turn with me to it if you've got it, and we're going to have a little look through it. It's a very, very well-known part of the Bible. It's the story of the Good Samaritan. But I've also, as I've traveled around and as I've been preaching and teaching and different things like that, I've realized it's probably one of the most misunderstood parables that we have in our Bible. Jesus told numerous parables. Well, I say numerous. Does anyone know how many parables Jesus is recorded in the New Testament Jesus told?
All of them.
All of them. Good. Well done. That is exactly right. There is 37 different parables recorded in the New Testament that Jesus told to his people. And one of them is the Good Samaritan, as I said, probably the most confusing one out of all of them, the most misunderstood parable out of all of them. So I want to take a little bit of a dive, just in the time that we've got, I want to take a little bit of a dive together to see if we can understand this a little bit better. Because you see, the main teaching point that seems to come out of the parable of the Good Samaritan is that it tells us that we need to be good. It says at the end of the parable, doesn't it? It says, which of these three was neighbor to the man that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. And Jesus said unto him, go and do likewise. We think that the teaching point out of this parable is that Jesus tells us that we need to go into the world and we need to be good people. We need to go and do good things. And if we do good things, then we'll be a good person and we'll be able to get to heaven. The reality is that that's not what the Bible teaches at all. In fact, the Bible, contrary to all of the religions, the Bible is the only one that tells us that we don't have to be. In fact, we're not good. We're not good people, and there's nothing that we could ever do that would make us good enough to be able to get to heaven. So why would there be a parable in the middle of Jesus' ministry that would tell us to go out and be good? Surely that's contradictory to what the gospel actually teaches us. So we're going to have a look and see what we, as we look into the context of this, what Jesus is actually telling us, if he's not telling us that we need to just go and be good and show mercy to other people. So we see Jesus is sitting surrounded by a group of people. Now we know within the context that Jesus was in is that society was split, the rich and the poor. And Jesus was obviously speaking to the rich people. We see that in the start of in verse 25, don't we, when it says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him." The lawyer would not have been sitting with the peasants and the paupers and the people that were homeless and the people that were begging. The lawyer would have mixed with other rich, well-known, aristocratic members of the society. So Jesus was speaking to almost the elite-type people within that society. He would have been speaking to the priests, to the Levites, to the lawyers, and all of these different people. So Jesus is sitting there with this group of people who are challenging him and trying to trip him up in terms of the things of the Bible, trying to get him to contradict himself in order to be able to say, "See, he's not the Son of God like he is claiming to be." So this lawyer stands up and he says, he tempted him. And he said, "Master, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus doesn't answer the question, does he? He doesn't tell him what he should do to inherit eternal life, but he comes back to him with another question. And he says, "What's written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered and said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind." Now you think about that phrase, you think about that verse. The way to inherit eternal life is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength. Let's take the first one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. I work for a missionary organization. I go out and share about Jesus and tell people about Jesus. I love the Lord God. I love being able to tell people about Jesus, and I love having a relationship with God. I also have a wife, and I also have three kids. I love my wife. I love my three kids. I am also a massive Liverpool fan. I love Liverpool. So I love my wife, I love my kids, I love my football club, and I'm not going to tell you what order they go in. But I love all of these different things. So loving my wife, loving my children, loving my football team, loving all the different things that I have, loving something else, even just a little bit, takes away from loving God with all of your heart. To love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength is to be devoted to nothing else other than God all the time, every day. So the ultimate standard of how you can inherit eternal life is to be absolutely perfect every day, all the time. So Jesus says to this man, "How do you read it?" And the man answers his own question and says, "Well, I need to love the Lord God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, and with all my strength, and then love my neighbors in the exact same way." And Jesus said unto him, "You've answered right. Do this, and you'll live." We all know that's not attainable. That's not possible. But this man, looking to try and trip Jesus up and looking to justify himself, he says in verse 29, "Who is my neighbor?" So he says to Jesus, "Well, if I just love Barry that lives down the road from me and I do nice things for him, is that good enough? Is my neighbor the guy that lives next door to me? How do I know who my neighbor is? I can't be nice to absolutely everyone all over the world. I don't know everyone. Who is my neighbor?" And again, Jesus doesn't answer the question, does he? But he starts to speak a parable to him. And he says, Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho," so he was obviously a Jewish man traveling from Jerusalem where he lived, going to Jericho, "and fell among thieves that stripped him of his clothes and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest." So a certain priest came down that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So Jesus starts to introduce these characters. And I want to put it in kind of a modern day context to give us a full idea of what was going on within this parable. Because it seems like a nice parable of a man that helped another man. But yet at the end of this parable, we start to see unfold in the chapters that follow how these same people started to plot to kill Jesus. So why would they want to kill Jesus if Jesus is only telling them to be nice people? Well, we see here it says that a priest traveled down the road. Now, a priest was a very, very well-known member of society. He was very upstanding. People would have went to him with all of their problems, with all of their worries. They would have went to the priest. He was an upstanding member of society. But it says that when he seen this man, he saw him, and he passed by on the other side. Now, I want to ask you a question. I'm looking for a little bit of congregational participation here, so don't look too worried. I'm not going to ask you to do too much. But what I want to ask you is I want you to answer me honestly and put your hands up. If you went out of this building, got into your car, drove out, went out into the main road, and you seen someone on the main road lying there on the side of the road, maybe they've been beaten up by someone, or maybe they've been hit by a car, we don't know the situation, but somebody is lying on the side of the road and they're in trouble, how many of you would go over and help that person? Okay, cool. Probably about 80% of the room. That's okay. Right, so most of us would go over and help someone if we seen them in need. Now, the priests in that day, historically, the priests had a lot of laws that they had to obey. One of the laws that a priest had to obey was that he wasn't allowed to touch anything that was unclean. So chances are the priest, when he was walking down that road and he seen this man lying on the side of the road, beaten, looking half dead, he'd have thought to himself, well, if that man's dead, I can't touch him because he's unclean. So I won't be able to go near him. I won't be able to help. So he made his excuses. He stepped by and he walked by on the other side. You see, this man had an excuse as to why he couldn't go and help others that were in need. And some of us didn't put our hands up, Jordan, that bit, because maybe we're thinking to ourselves, well, I don't know the situation. This isn't too much of a friendly area. This is a rough area. I don't know if he's maybe trying to trick me. I'll go over and try and help this man. And maybe the people that have beaten him up will beat me up as well. Maybe they're waiting. And we start to think of reasons why we can't go and help the other person. It's automatically in our mind that we think, no, it's not for me. I can't do that. Maybe we just think to ourselves, I just wouldn't have the courage to be able to go over and to be able to help somebody if they were in need. The priest was that man. The priest made an excuse and he walked by on the other side. It says in verse 32, and likewise a Levite, when he was at that place and looked on him, he passed by on the other side. Now again, a Levite was a very high member of society. He would have been at all the big events. We've seen the funeral of the queen a little while ago, the coronation of the king. Levites would have been at those events. They were high up, upstanding members of society. They were well respected. They were well known. So this Levite, when traveling down this street, this man who everybody knew because he would have been at all the big aristocratic events, he decides to leave this man and walk on and pass by on the other side. Why would he do that? Now, I want to ask you again, how many people would help someone if they were in need? Hands up for me. Keep your hands up for me. How many people would still choose to help that person even if you couldn't put it on social media, you couldn't tell anyone that you've done it? How many people would still choose to help? Interesting. Just to give you a little bit of an insight to it, normally if I do this program in a school, whether it be in an RE class or in an assembly, generally about 50% of the hands go down at that point. Just to give you a bit of an idea of how society has shifted over the last little while. So the Levite, you see, this man who was a high up aristocratic member of society, he was traveling down this dusty road where no one was there. He passes this man who is bleeding and sore, and he thought to himself, if I go over and help that man, I would have to give of my own time, I would have to give of my own money, and nobody would ever know that I've done it. So what was the point? Because you see, that's how Levites worked. They'd done everything in the public eye. They'd done everything so that they could be seen by those around them. To help a man who was in need on a dusty road where there was no one to be able to watch, what was the point? Because it didn't benefit him. So he decided that he was going to leave him and he was going to pass by on the other side. And we see it towards the end. It says after the Levite, it says in verse 33, but a certain Samaritan. Now this is where it gets interesting. Because Jesus decided that what he was going to do in introducing these characters to these Jewish people was that he was going to introduce a Samaritan. Now, many of you may know that the Jews and the Samaritans hated each other. They had been at war for years. They had been killing each other's families, taking each other's land, and all of these different things. They hated each other as communities. So Jesus not only chooses a Samaritan to put into the story, but he then makes the Samaritan the hero of the story. So I want to ask you one more time, and I want you to be honest for me right from the beginning. How many people would help someone if they were in need? If you've seen someone in need, how many people would go over and help that person? How many people would still do it even if you couldn't put it on social media? How many people would still do it if when you went over to that man, you realized he'd killed someone in your family? Oh, that changed, didn't it? Oh, that suddenly became a bit different. Now, this is what we're getting at in this parable, is that Jesus wasn't saying to them, look at this man, he was a nice, kind man, and he helped this other person. That's what you need to do, you need to be kind. But he was challenging the people that actually our love that we think that we're, because all of us think that we're good people. If I was to ask you and say, do you think you're a good person? Most of us would go, I think I'm all right. I think I'm a nice person. I think I do good things. Everybody thinks that they're a good person. But yet what Jesus is pointing out and showing us in this parable is that actually for each and every one of us, our love is conditional. Our love is conditional, dependent upon the circumstances that we're in. I am prepared to be a nice guy. I am prepared to be lovely, and I am prepared to help people as long as that person's never done something against me. As long as that person has never said something about me. As long as that person has never done something to my family. I think you realize that more so as a parent. I've got three kids. I've got a 9-year-old, a 6-year-old, and I've got a 3-year-old. And my little girl has started going. I've been taking her this year on my day off to Parents and Tots. And we go along to Parents and Tots, and she plays on all the toys and stuff like this. And you're going along, oh, isn't it lovely, all these little kids playing around. And then my daughter's playing with something. And then someone comes over and snatches her off. And I'm like, what's that kid doing? I'll smash his face. I'm going over to the people that are leading. I'm like, you see that little brat over there? Take my kid's toys. It's dependent, isn't it? We're all nice people until something happens that affects us. Because our love as human beings is conditional, dependent upon the circumstances that we're in. But yet what Jesus is getting at, because a parable, what many of us will have learned if you went to Sunday school when you were younger, is that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. So what is that? What's the heavenly meaning that comes out of this parable? The earthly story sharing with us that our love is conditional is giving us the heavenly meaning that is reminding us that our love is conditional. If we put faith in man, if we put faith in ourselves, then we are doomed to fail because our emotions change constantly depending upon the situation that we're in. But yet the love that God shows towards us is unconditional. Amen. That no matter what you have done in your life, no matter who you have treated badly, no matter what you have said, no matter what you've gone through, there is nothing that you can do that would separate you enough from God that he wouldn't forgive you if you asked for it. Amen. That he wouldn't do what that Samaritan man has done. That Samaritan chose, even though him and the Jewish communities were fighting, and this man had probably killed someone in his family, if not caused some sort of torment, he still chose to give up his time, give up his money, and do everything that he could to be able to help this man because his love was unconditional, just like the love of Christ is towards us. And it's proven at the end, it sort of totally reestablishes this last sentence for us, that Jesus says in verse 36, which now of these three do you think was neighbor to him that fell among the thieves? And in verse 37, the lawyer said, he that showed mercy on him, couldn't even say his name, couldn't even say the Samaritan. He said, he that showed mercy on him. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. Almost as a sarcastic comment of go and do likewise, because we can't. We can't, because there's nothing that we can ever do that would be good enough for us to be able to get to heaven. But yet, no matter what we have done in our lives, there is nothing that could separate us from the love of God. That God tells us that if you come to him and if you ask for forgiveness, if you tell him what you've done in your life and you tell him that you want a relationship with him, it says that he is faithful and he is just to forgive us our sins and to come into our lives and save us. That's an amazing message, isn't it? In a society where people are crying out for what their identity is, for a society where we live in, where people are depressed, where people are anxious, where people are suicidal, we have a story here of hope that tells us that no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, you are still good enough to be forgiven by God. Not because of what you've done, but because of what Christ has done for you. That's what we share in schools. That's what we get a chance to be able to tell young people. To give them a message of hope and to be able to give them a message that shares with them that if you will come to Jesus and ask for forgiveness of sins, then he is faithful. He will forgive you of your sins. He will cleanse you. He will hold you in his hand and he will never, ever let you go. Amen. Now I want to challenge you. Do you do that? We were singing before, wasn't we, about how we want to speak Jesus in the community that we live in, about how we want to speak of Jesus to the people around us, in the people in the dark situations that people are going through. It's easy enough to stand up and sing those words, isn't it? But are you doing it? Are we going out when you go out tomorrow and you go to the bus stop or you go to the shop or you go out and about and you see your friends and your family and you get a chance to get into conversation with them? How much are we taking the opportunity? How much are we taking that opportunity to be able to share the, what God has done in our lives, like that man with the legion of demons? What are we doing to be able to share with others about what God has done for us and how he has shown mercy upon us and how he can do the same for them? It's our job, as Jesus says in that last passage, go and do likewise. Not because it saves you, but we do it because we want to do it, because we have experienced the unconditional love of Jesus, and we should be compelled to want to share that with others. Are you doing that? Are you doing all that you can while you can to be able to share that hope and love and mercy and that story of forgiveness through Jesus Christ with those around us? It is your job. It is your responsibility. This area where you live, your family, that is your mission field. No one's going to do it for you. God has placed you there for a purpose, to be able to be involved, to do all you can while you can, to tell people about what Christ has done for you and what he can do for them. Let's pray. Dear Lord, would you just thank you and praise you for the opportunity to be able to gather here this morning, Lord. Would you thank you that we're here because you are here with us. And we do thank you and praise you, Lord, that as we have learned this morning, Lord, we serve a risen Savior, a God who has defeated death, a God who has defeated the grave, Lord, a God that has defeated sin and has bridged that gap between us and God, Lord. And we do thank you and praise you that just like this Good Samaritan in the parable, Lord, that you pour out that unconditional love to each and every one of us who come to you in repentance and an acceptance of you, Lord. Would you just really pray that if there are any here that don't know you, Lord, that you will challenge our hearts this morning, Lord, that you will prompt us as to where we stand in our relationship with you, Lord. And for those of us that do know you, Lord, those of us that do have a relationship with you, would you just really pray, Lord, that you will spur us on. Would you thank you for this church? Would you thank you for the opportunities that we have to be able to serve you in this area, Lord? Would you thank you for all the amazing things that you are doing that we have heard about this morning? But would you just pray, Lord, that you would keep our heart afire for you, Lord. That you would keep us prompting us, Lord, and challenging us to do more, to do all that we can while the day is here, Lord, before the night comes. Would you just really pray, Lord, that you will help us. Give us opportunities. Give us boldness. Give us the words to say, Lord. We know that it's not through our strength that anything is done, but it's all through you, Lord. So we do just pray that you would keep working in our hearts, keep challenging us and keep helping us. Keep blessing each and every one of us, Lord, and write your word upon our hearts, for we ask it in your name. Amen.